Confucius, Kongfuzi, Master Kong, was born in 551 BCE in China, in the state of Lu. His family had held important posts in the prior imperial government, but had lost most of their social standing. Confucius's father died when Confucius was very young, leaving Confucius and his mother struggling financially. Confucius was given an education proper to the family's noble heritage, but he had to work in various menial jobs to finance his education. Confucius married when he was 19 years old and had at least 2 children. When Confucius was 23 years old, his mother died. Keeping the strictest Chinese customs, Confucius retired from public life for 3 years to mourn his mother's death. During this time, he continued his studies. After returning to public life, Confucius went to work for the Duke of Lu, working as a tax collector and in other minor functionary roles within the government. Confucius eventually left his job with the Duke of Lu and at the age of 50 began to travel around China seeking a post within one of the many feudal governments existing in China at the time. Confucius felt he had a method for good government, one he had gleaned from reading the works of the ancient sages of China, and he wanted someone in a position of power to apply it. Confucius was never very successful at securing a position as a political advisor. Though he was generally treated with courtesy and respect as he traveled from state to state, no one was willing to become Confucius's patron or implement his philosophies. He eventually returned to his home state of Lu and died there around 479 BCE. Though he failed as a political advisor, Confucius became a well-known and much-beloved teacher. He tried to cultivate in his students the same gentlemanly qualities and avocations, such as playing the lute, that he cultivated in himself. Confucius hoped his students would rise to important offices as public servants and then be able to implement his philosophies. As history shows, this is exactly what happened. Ideals of Confucian philosophy have played a key role in family and government life in China for over 2 millennia now. One of the most important tasks Confucius took on during his lifetime was to edit, write commentary, and add to several classical works of Chinese philosophy, including the I Ching. Later Confucians probably did some of this work credited to Confucius. Confucius approached his predecessors with respect and even reverence. In the Analects, a collection of his sayings, Confucius claimed no originality for his philosophy, saying he was a transmitter rather than a creator, who had a passion for the ancients. Confucius became more famous after his death than he had ever been during his lifetime. For the first couple of centuries after his death, Confucius was simply one of several well-known philosophers. But later, during the Han Dynasty in the 2nd century BCE, Confucius emerged as a pivotal figure, and eventually as the basis for a new religion. You have learned that Confucius lived in the 6th century BCE. Confucius tried for most of his life to be accepted as an advisor to powerful rulers, but attained his real influence as a teacher, philosopher, and scholar. A corpus of ancient Chinese texts, said to have been edited by Confucius, eventually had a tremendous impact on Chinese culture for many hundreds of years. For 2 to 3 centuries after his death, Confucius was simply one of many Chinese philosophers. But as a result of decisions taken by the Han Dynasty in the 2nd century BCE, he took an extremely important place in Chinese society, history, and religion. Confucianism is above all about morality. The questions it addresses are ethical ones. How should I behave? What is my duty within my relationships? How can we live together peacefully? Virtue and character are the ideas that Confucius found compelling. And it is to these ideas that Confucians have returned for many hundreds of years. To an outsider, there seems to be little of religion in the philosophy of Confucius. He rarely spoke of God or an afterlife, and talked of heaven mostly in vague terms. For all his apparent disinterest in the supernatural, Confucius did insist that religious rituals were important, both at the popular and state levels. He was adamant that proper rituals be performed as a regular part of good government. However, he suggested that it was best to perform rituals as if there were gods and goddesses or spirits to respond to them. It seems clear that Confucius doubted the existence of such deities or spirits. Why, then, is it customary to count Confucianism as a religion? There are several reasons. First, Confucius did refer to heaven as a cosmic validation for earthly rulers. Like Taoists, Confucius wished to bring the heavenly and earthly worlds into harmony with one another. Second, Confucius eventually came to be revered much as other religious figures, such as the Buddha, are. And finally, through the work of Neo-Confucian scholars, Confucianism gradually came to incorporate more ritual and meditation into its practice. Confucianism's concern with virtue is constantly filtered through its understanding of human relationships. Unlike Taoism, Confucianism is relatively unconcerned with the human relationship to God, nature, or the Tao, at least as Taoists conceive it. Confucianism finds its focus in human social life. Virtue cannot be understood apart from the specific relationships through which it is to be manifested. These are the five great relationships: father-son, elder brother, younger brother, husband, wife, friend, friend, and ruler, subject. All these relationships are understood hierarchically. One partner is superior to the other. Therefore, the duties and obligations of one partner are not the same as those of the other. Even relationships between friends are expected to operate hierarchically on the basis of differences in age, rank, wealth, or knowledge. Society will operate harmoniously only when the ruler is truly a ruler, the son truly a son, and so forth. People need to know their duty and to be trained to follow it precisely. It is the proper performance of the duties associated with one's relationships that creates a harmonious family, which in turn creates a harmonious society and a harmonious world. Furthermore, individual character is cultivated and strengthened by doing what is required in one's social position. Even if the behaviors begin as grudging performances, eventually they will become internalized.